This episode is brought to you by Scion Cider Bar. With over 150 imported ciders to choose from, plus a selection of local beer, local spirits, wines, and snacks, Scion Cider Bar is bringing an all-new tasting experience to Salt Lake City. Scion offers 20 craft ciders on tap with a rotating selection that will blow your mind and keep you coming back for more. Located at 916 Jefferson Street, West Salt Lake City, right by Central 9th Market, Mad Dough, Blue Copper Coffee Room, Water Witch, and Laz's Kitchen. With plenty of room inside, a patio, and a friendly, well-trained staff, this will be the place to be. Like the saying goes, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. So I guess that means a cider a day? The more you can play? See you at Scion Cider Bar. Until the next cider, my friends. You're listening to The Tastemasters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. The Fisher Boys. Boys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
What's going on, guys?
Bringing us down.
When's the last time you guys were all on a podcast? Is this first?
This is first.
Yeah.
Shut up, really.
First time.
And then Jack, thanks for being my co-host today. I appreciate you.
I'm clearly tickled because I stumbled. Tim's just looking in my eyes right now. Getting me all warm and fuzzy.
He's
making me stumble over my words and so butterflies in my stomach.
I love it. I mean, I think this is the second most anxious I've ever been in an episode. So last time I was this anxious was when I interviewed all the Pink Boots ladies. Five just powerhouse women at one table, and so it's kind of intimidating, but at the same time, it's really cool to have all your boys here. We're in Fisher. Fisher is one of the best breweries in Utah, Jack. I mean, it's one of our favorites, right? I feel like going to Fisher, you're always going to find a brewer here at this facility. It's a great place to be. What I want to ask for you guys is, I want to know, what is Fisher? How did you guys come to be? Tom, you are, if I recall, you are a grand. You have the blood in you of Fisher, right? Al Fisher?
Yeah.
Just tell us a quick story about that, if you will.
My great-great-grandfather's the original founder of the old Fisher Brewery over there on 2nd West and 12th, 2nd South and 12th West along the Jordan River kind of thing. It's always been a little family legacy kind of thing going on, and had an opportunity with these guys to open up a brewery, and we thought, well, we got a good little thing going with the Fisher beer brand. Let's bring that back and have the Utahans enjoying it again.
That's so awesome. I mean, it's really cool. Everyone sees the Fisher brand, and it's just this eye candy. It's beautiful. Everyone loves it. I always hear stories about traveling and seeing it, you know, when you're in the airport or whatnot. You know, there's Fisher everywhere. I love that. You guys have started something that's really beautiful. Tim, how did you guys become friends? How did you guys get to know each other?
Yeah, sure. So Tommy and I have known each other since we were like 10 years old. His folks bought a condo at the place my folks managed down in Bryan Head, Utah, which is where I'm from. And so we've known each other since we were running around in the woods and skateboarding together, and met Colby here at college up at the U, and Steve through Desert Edge. He bartended there for a long time. So that's kind of where we all knew each other from. The idea started percolating, when we were looking to do something a little different. I was looking to get out of my wind energy, job that I had. I was tired of traveling. We were all home brewers before, and, it was
all
a
you guys were.
Yep.
Oh, sweet. Yep. Hey, I didn't know that.
Well, maybe not. Colby was just always on the commercial side.
Yeah. But, yeah. You guys have been brewing since forever then, or for a while, right? In the brewing aspect.
Colby clearly walked out of the womb and was brewing from the way they talk about it.
I just needed a job.
But I guess, how do you guys, what are you guys' positions at Fisher? Just owners?
We're all co-owners, founders. So, but then we all have our own sort of specialties too, I guess. It takes a lot of all four of us all the time to keep the place going.
Yeah. You
know? So, I don't know. There are all kinds of unforeseen, I think, challenges and job titles and things like that running a small business that probably you don't necessarily foresee coming into it, you know?
Yeah. So whose idea was it to, like, let's just start this. Let's make it happen. A small brewery.
Well, it's pretty organic. That was a pretty organic thing, I think. I think I was working at Uinta maybe I was working at Desert Edge when Tim and I first started sort of gelling the possibility of maybe starting a brewery, you know? And that's just a conversation in a backyard kind of thing. But yeah. I think Steve had he had worked at Desert Edge a long time and had eyes on starting his own place too. And
yeah, and I had approached Colby at one point when he was still there.
Yeah.
Just like, you think you're up to the task of, you know, running a commercial brewery by yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And that was probably
9 years ago or something?
Yeah, or 10 years ago at that point.
Wow. Yeah, I remember these guys bringing the idea to me, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what Salt Lake City needs. This is just like kind of tap house, draft house kind of brewery.
So. And then, Tom, it's in your blood, so that kind of like,
yeah,
that ignite that passion again? Or?
Oh, yeah, got me super excited. I'm like, wow, like definitely that'd be fun. It's what's needed in this town. And
yeah,
I thought it was a great idea from the start.
I love it. I love it. I love that you guys are here. I'm still... I mean, Jack, what do you got for these boys today? What's something you always wanted to ask these boys? You have them all at the same table, same time.
I mean, I it's clear what the vision was, is building a community in your community, and it's clearly succeeding right now. So I guess I'm more curious kind of what your vision for the future is. Like any one of you can answer, or all of you. Just like what's the next step? I mean, I know you're doing some work here and there, but if that's something you want to talk about at length, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, I think we're really excited. We've just acquired the buildings that are next to us. We're looking forward to an expansion this year, which will include more tap room space, a private event space, and then we'll also be getting a 16-ounce canning line going. So that's a big change for us, being a very draft-focused place, but... yeah, we're really excited about what the future holds for all of that. Like you say, Jack, I've been really proud of the fact that we built a place that was for the community, and we're really doubling down with that so that we have more space, more ways to get people together, to enjoy Fisher beer. So
yeah,
we're pretty excited about that.
Steve, I guess I want to ask you this question. What makes Fisher so special? What have you guys have created something that's, there's some unspoken magic here. What makes this place such a high end, it's a world class place. It really is. It may not have the accolades, you know, sitting here in Forbes magazine, but it is a world class brewery.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that sentiment. But to answer, there isn't a silver bullet answer to that question. There's a lot of little small pieces that go into the creation of what becomes a, you know, this community gathering place, I think. You know, we have great product. We have really good customer service. The atmosphere is nice. We really are trying to always focus on the community and bringing different parts of the community in, and trying to be a fully inclusive space and place. So I think you feel that when you come here, like you feel welcome.
Yeah.
So.
And that's palpable. Just walking in, it really is. Yeah. And you guys are really supportive of the community. So you always support local. You guys have always been supportive of the LGBTQ. You've always been of anything that's big in the community. You guys have been kind of a powerhouse of like, let's focus. And you also have been loud enough where you stayed out of a lot of mainstream kind of bullshit, right? You guys have kind of stepped back and like, hey, we're not going to put our hands or feet into something.
Tommy.
You know, we're going. You guys are always
sounds like a brewery.
I guess politically correct in the most proper way. You guys are really humble about that. So what makes it?
I mean, I would say yes and no. I think we've put our necks out there at times though, with some of our stands with public lands and other things that maybe don't perfectly vibe with everybody all the time, but they're what we believe in. If we believe in something,
we'll stand behind it.
You'll see us stand behind it.
I like that. And it's nice to come to a brewery. I mean, Jack, how many times have we been here and there's always one of these boys here working?
I mean, I would hope to see at least one or all of them every time, but I was just thinking as I was listening to Tim's answer and then Steve talking about this, it really is you four that makes this place what it is. Like, I guess the days that you guys are taking off, you are well deserved, but it's kind of a different feel when you guys aren't here. So That yeah, that's what I appreciate the most.
Yeah, you guys make it like a point for one of you to be here at all times. I feel like it's, we, somehow it works out that way.
Let them take a vacation.
In particular, for the first two full years, one of us was in the building every hour of every day we were open, minus when I got married. Yeah. And a couple, and the two anniversary dinners that we did.
Yeah.
We, and still to this day, I mean, one of us is in the building every hour of every day we're open 90% of the time right now.
That's so cool. You guys have created something small, then it's big enough where you can kind of let back a little bit and enjoy, you know, the fruits of your labors, if you will. Tom, how did you guys make it through COVID? You guys, because I remember you guys did a lot of draft beer, was out the door. Like, how did
COVID was pretty tough for us, kind of thing. We felt like we wanted to, just, you know, play by the guidelines and just play it safe, and just did what we had to do. And yeah, felt like shutting down the tavern, keeping it closed for a while was the right call at the time. And just, yeah, we switched gears and learned how to can a lot of beer on a single canning machine, which is pretty tough, but we got pretty good at it. And yeah, just it was kind of fun just selling it on like on a sidewalk, like old school lemonade stand.
Yeah, it was like a lemonade stand, but for adults. It was great. Yeah. I love that.
It was nice to walk up and, again, like just have a visit, like just waving. And I do remember, though, like at a certain point the first time, after a while of not being able to come into the brewery, like you're like, come get this. Like you especially, Colby, you were just like, I've been working on these things in the background. Come try this. It was really, you know, going from the lemonade stand to coming back to this is really nice. And
we are very happy with having the tavern open again. I'll say that.
I was going to say, though, that's probably a lot of what's prompting the move into canning eventually. So
sure,
and that's exciting. Are we going to see Fisher in stores ever or soon? You're going to keep it.
It's not
in-house.
Part of the initial plan here. Yeah, we're trying to keep it here, and we'll certainly focus a little bit more on High Point releases and doing different stuff there. Ooh. But the idea is to keep selling it here.
That's cool. I like that. And what makes you guys keep it in house? What's making it? If you want Fisher beer,
a lot of that has to do with the equipment required to go into a grocery level. Mm. We still just have that 10-barrel brew house. It's not a big brew house by any means. It's direct fire, so you know, we don't have multiple vessels. So there's an efficiency standpoint, and also just we're just adding a couple fermenters to start. So those wouldn't fulfill grocery store accounts certainly at this point. So
I like that. Colby, what's some beers going on? What's some new brews working on? You are the main brewer at Fisher, correct?
Yeah.
And then you just acquired, I believe, Chad helping you out.
Yep. Yeah, we got our first. I have had a couple of assistants come through, and then with the expansion, we've got a guy who I worked with a long time ago at Uinta, and who was the head brewer at Desert Edge. So. Yeah, but a lot of exciting beers. I think we're on batch. We brewed over the past 5 years, we brewed right around 700, 720, 750, yep. 700 batches of beer. Pretty cool. 1 year in 2019, before the pandemic, 100 of those were unique one-off beers. So we do a lot of experimenting. You know, we've always been able to kind of burn through beer pretty quick and experiment, but during the pandemic for sure we learned a lot about ourselves, I think, and also about kind of the need to diversify the business a little bit, maybe with some cans. And then of course our laws make us can anything above 5%, so we had sort of blocked ourselves from a portion of the market for a long, long time. But anyway, so we have three special beers coming out. There are a lot of exciting beers over there right now, but three. A double IPA that's really good. We can try that in a little while. Like 9.5% Citra dry hop, really, really fruity and nice. It's shaping up to be a good one. And then a Goza. Salted beer that sort of based off Jack's work over at Proper.
Hey.
Not my.
It's a
can't claim that. That pre-existed me. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, we did that because we're going to partner with some groups from the Great Salt Lake. And so that'll be a beer that a portion of proceeds go back to hopefully saving that important body of water, hence the salt. So,
yes.
And then we've got a beer. We a Belgian beer fermented with a Trappist strain of yeast for the first half of the fermentation, and then fermented with kind of a blend of Brettanomyces for the second half, and it's almost done too.
Wow!
Fancy. So those are that's a beer that's been a long time coming, sort of dealing with bringing Brett into the brewery, fermenting with it on the cold side in our brewery, and trying to make sure that we don't ruin all of our clean beer.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So those are three really cool ones that are going to come out in the next couple of weeks.
Fun for you guys. So, yeah. And you guys are really good at giving back to the community. You guys have done a lot of partnerships. It's not just, you guys do collaborations, but they're very specific collaborations. And I feel like every step you guys take, there's always thought through. And why is that? Why do you guys, you're very, that's the wrong word, but you guys are very picky, very particular on who you collaborate with.
Deliberate.
Well, I mean, maybe. I think we're open to almost anything. People need to. A lot of the stuff that we've done are things where an organization has come to us and pitched the idea, and then we've massaged it through and come to how's this sound type thing. I don't know if you want to throw in anything.
No, I agree with that. I think we did. One of the things we did the past 2 years is, like I said, we're pretty nimble, and the guy who prints our, we have all of our labels printed just down the street at a printing press, so we're able to move pretty quickly on new beers and new designs, I guess, of labels and stuff. So for the past 2 years, we've been brewing specific beers designed with certain organizations, and this year I think we did maybe 9 to 12 beers brewed specifically for various organizations. Anyway, that's something that, and then they design the label and have a hand in that, really, and cool. We give back to that. But like Steve said, we pretty much, somebody comes to us from the Humane Society or the Salt Lake Tribune or City Weekly or whatever, and supporting those sorts of causes, local journalism to saving pets or whatever. We pretty much always do it, So I wouldn't say that we're overly picky.
You're right. It's again the wrong word,
when we do decide to go for it, we try and do everything the best we can. So.
Yeah. And you guys are really, really professional about it. And I love the way you guys are crafted. I mean, you guys are really careful with everything, but it's also, you guys aren't just going to throw your name out there and it's just Fisher Beer here, there. You guys haven't sold out. You guys are really private in a way, but it's that beauty that keeps it here in the building. You guys have had, that's still here. That's that special spirit here at Fisher. Tim, you guys bring in, still supporting your local, you bring in a lot of taco trucks, food trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So when did that idea come about? Has that always been an idea?
That was an idea from the very jump. None of us were in food, on the food side of life. None of us had the desire to run a restaurant. Brew pubs were definitely the staple here in Salt Lake. And in fact, we had to lobby the city of Salt Lake to change the law to allow breweries without food. And that was a 9-month process we undertook. Jeez. Because we believe so much in just doing food trucks and not being married to one kitchen. And that was something that we were really excited about bringing to Salt Lake. It was something that was not new in the country, like Denver and Portland had breweries that were running that way. And, we were kind of following that model, but we were the first in Utah to really push that as our core mode of business.
Yeah. Not to disparage anyone at the city of Salt Lake, but if you go read the code dictating what a brewery is, what a big brewery is, what a small brewery is, what a brew pub is, Tim wrote that law.
Hi. Hey, Tim, thank you. Appreciate that. Tom, we talked about, Jack mentioned earlier, things exciting are happening for Fisher, but this is kind of have your family name behind it. So what's something you want Fisher to be known for and the legacy of the family?
Well, obviously, it's just something we're already doing. It's the community part kind of thing. I feel like the old Fisher was definitely like the iconic Utah brand, whatever, and just maintaining that. you know, involvement with Utah kind of thing is something me and the family like to see. Like a lot of my aunts, uncles, people that used to hang out at the old brewery when it was still open back in the 50s and 60s, like seeing the brand about and being spread through the community again. So as long as we can have, you know, a part of the Utah history, that's what I'm really looking forward to.
And you guys have created that special. I mean, Fisher, that name is powerful in Utah, right, Jack? I mean, tell me one of your favorite memories about Fisher.
I'd say it's honestly the first time I saw the performance of The River Speaks Plainly. I mean, I love all the performances and like viewings you guys do in the back with the like the big screen, and but that the ballet and the music and Colby's narration really like moved me the first time. I think I've cried every time I've seen that, to be honest. Yeah,
cool.
And I've seen it like three times, so
yeah,
that was worth it every time. But yeah, that's probably one of the best memories I have from being at Fisher is that particular experience, but the fact that they can repeat that multiple times and bring people together and keeps me coming back.
Yeah, that keeps all of us coming back.
Yeah.
You guys have this iconic swag about you guys. You know, you have the flannels, you have the hats. Oh, what makes this swag so cool? What do you guys, you guys just sit there in one group? You guys have these meetings every week and you guys just talk about cool ideas. How'd you guys become so, your swag just so iconic?
We have Steve.
Everyone's looking at Steve. Steve, tell me about the swag, dude. What's going on? The apparel's off the hooks.
Yeah. It's kind of just like a snowball that got dropped from the top of a mountain, and now it's an avalanche. And I don't really know why. I mean, I think we do really, I try really hard to do nice stuff that people will want to wear, but I mean, it's still shocking for us how much stuff goes out the door and how much you see it around town. Or I get pictures. I've gotten pictures from friends all over the world in coffee shops in Rome, skiing in New Zealand, down in Costa Rica.
See, that's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, every now and then people kind of make fun of us for it, but I don't know. I mean, people, you got to kind of be proud. People want to rep our brand. And that's amazing. I really don't know what it is, but there's something to it apparently, because there's a lot of it and it just, you see it all over the place. So we feel really, really lucky, and it's to have that, and, you know, pretty proud when you're walking around the park and you see four Fisher hats on, you know, walking your dog.
Yeah.
It's a pretty proud feeling. So
the making fun is because they're jealous. Like, seriously, I mean, it's pretty impressive how expansive it is. Like, I have a full variety, and every time I'm wearing a different hat or piece of apparel, somebody's like, "Oh, whoa, they've got that now!" Like it's always like something that they're like, "Wow, okay, I got some options."
Fresh merch, fresh beer, man. That's what we're after.
Fresh merch, fresher beer.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's been a fun thing. I mean,
I love that. That's so cool. Oh my God. That's so cool. What's possible some misconceptions that people have about Fisher that you guys want to address? I guess. Is there any kind of, have you ever heard any backlash about Fisher and what you guys are standing for? That's kind of an interesting question, but.
I would say maybe on the product side that we only sell from here, and then we're kind of this exclusive thing. If you go back to when we wrote our business plan almost 10 years ago now, we had planned to work with other bars, like selective bars, but like 10 or 12 outside accounts in the valley to help sell our brand. And then we opened our doors and we almost had to close because we had no product. So I think that just that's something that we weren't expecting, that we would literally like kind of only be able to fulfill our own tap room, but that's truly the way that it's worked out for us. So at least up to this point.
So. I like that. When it comes to the beer and the product, Colby, who do you look up to? Who do you guys go to for help? Because I feel like Jack and I have come to you guys for help, but who does Fisher go to?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I've gotten a fair amount of help from my the first brewer I worked for out in California. A little bit of help from him. Eric Rose, Hollister Brewing Company, and Chad, who now works here. You know, asked some questions of him, but I've always liked I like not knowing that much about stuff, tell you the truth. Like with beer, you can brew traditional, you can really try to nail traditional styles of brewing or whatever, but like as it pertains to experimentation, which has always been a key part of what we do, rotating through new beers. People, I think a lot of people come here because they can get something new almost every time they walk in the door. That's all kind of like possible because I try not to know too much about what other people are doing, or I don't know. That's how I was a writer at various times too, before brewing or in between brewing jobs. And I felt like I always wrote better stories going into certain situations, not being like polluted by too much tradition or knowledge. You can see things with fresh eyes. So I try to brew the same way. I try to just do it however we do it, kind of the Fisher way.
That's the Fisher way. That's badass. I like that, Colby.
Yeah.
So, wow.
And I think that's something the variety of beer that gets produced at Fisher Brewing Company is, I think, unmatched in the state of Utah. Like, we make more types of beer with more different yeasts and ingredients, I would probably say, than any other brewery in the state. And that's because we're afforded that because of our small batches, because of how fast our beer turns over. Colby's gotten a hell of a lot of practice with a lot of different stuff.
700 plus, right?
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's just an amazing feature of our place, and it's something I'm really proud of. And I don't think we necessarily toot our own horn about that enough. But we, like, you can come in here and have, you know, 6 different yeasts on the board. You don't find that hardly anywhere else. So, something I'm proud of, something that's been really fun is like seeing what's coming up next, what's cooking. The experimentation we've been afforded, it's just like growing up our homebrew experience, I think, for all of us.
Yeah. You guys are like those big homebrewers in a small brewery scale. I like that. That's really cool. Sit tight. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. Hopkins Brewing is located off 21st South in Salt Lake. Hopkins has live music, local art, and they use locally grown and sustainable ingredients in both their food and craft beer. Their food menu is off the charts. Their handcrafted beer is also fantastic. Upon checking out, use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off any food. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off your entire meal. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Tom, favorite experimental beer you guys have ever released here?
Experimental beer. Ooh. I have to say I'm more classic. I just like the hoppy ones and the Pilsner a lot. but there's been some good ones in the past kind of thing. Just caught me off guard there. But like, I look at the board right now, that Piney Brown is awesome.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah. Super good. Like malty, hoppy, bitter. Perfect for me. Yeah.
So, I like that. Yeah. Steve, same question. Favorite experimental beer, or just favorite classic beer that Colby's made?
I think the White Pale might be, which is on right now, and it's on kind of sporadically throughout the year, but is one of my favorites. And it goes back to, I think it's pretty cool. We homebrewed Fisher beer, our Saison, the White Pale,
and the red.
Red.
And the red.
Yeah.
Kind of religiously for a few years before we opened. The White Pale, actually, at the Beer Nuts homebrew competition, took a gold medal in specialty IPA, which at the time was 4% beer, unbeknownst to anybody. So, but it's pretty cool that we worked so hard on those four beers. And if you come in now, 5 years later, we still make those a lot. That's so cool. Out of all the, you know, we talk about, we've probably done 250 unique grain builds and hops, maybe more, maybe 350, but those four beers still come around with regularity. So pretty proud of that fact.
Yeah.
Tim, what's one of the most proudest moments of Fisher Brewing you can think of?
Man, it's really cool seeing people get together here, for all kinds of different reasons. That's, I think, the thing that I'm really proud of is the gathering place that we made Fisher. We put that in our original business plan, and to see how it materialized in reality has been just like, it was not exactly how we thought it was going to be. And it's been better than we all, I think, thought it was going to be. And doing big things like our Fisher Mansion events and the things that we've gotten to do and pulled people together and like watching them be successful and watching people have a good time and enjoy Fisher beer together, like really bringing the public house like vibe and atmosphere and goal together. You know, that's been the big thing for me. That was always the dream, and it's really cool to see it lived out on a daily basis in here.
That's really cool. Yeah. Is there anything part of this original business plan you guys made over 10 years ago haven't come to fruition yet?
Well, we thought we'd distribute beer.
Those 10 outside accounts for one.
We've never been able to have enough beer to sell elsewhere. So I guess that's a pleasant surprise. But
yeah,
don't do it. Yeah.
Don't do it, Jack says. You guys go to competitions or a brew fest very often? Or is that kind of a...
We actually haven't done any competitions yet. Just hasn't been part of our
model.
Not
for you guys? Not... Yeah.
Well, not distributing, that was a big thing, is we didn't want to create a beer that people wanted all the time, because you're just going to be set for disappointment, because pretty much the only beer we have on all the time is Fisher Lager.
and that was rough the first 2 years to get that on. Yeah,
exactly. We still ran out of that. So yeah. We didn't necessarily want to create more demand for any one beer. But yeah, I mean, we go to the local beer fest. We try to support, obviously, the Utah Beer Festival and the Slug Festivals, you know, being in our community, but we also don't sell beer elsewhere. So traveling and going to other things is not really in our cards now, but something we're looking to branch into maybe a little bit more here in the future.
Maybe.
Colby, speak to that.
Yeah. It's been a factor really largely of time. I mean, you guys mentioned we're always here working, and that's true. We've always been here working, so. Taking off for 3 or 4 days to go to a beer festival just has not been possible. So
yeah, you were talking about earlier Higher Point beers. Are we going to see barreled aged Fisher beers?
Maybe someday. We don't really have a barrel. We don't have space for barrels now, but maybe someday, man. You know,
yeah.
I don't really. I don't know. It'd be cool to have some barrels, I guess.
Gentlemen, what's some beers that Colby hasn't made yet that you want to see him make? I'm curious to know what.
It's kind of fun that he has two in the tanks right now that he's never done before, with the Goza and the Trappist Sour. So.
Yeah.
Any other styles you guys can think of? Like, I want Colby to make this. Or do you ever go up to Colby and be like, hey, I have a hankering for this beer. Could you make?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Yeah. All the time?
Yeah. We have an open dialogue.
Yeah, pretty much sure. Every week we review the beers and decide what's coming next, and sometimes we squabble about it. Sometimes there's too many good ones to choose from to bring back. But yeah, we try to do stuff that's seasonal. And
so, how do you guys do that? Like, is there someone? You guys seem always happy. I don't know, Jack. I don't know about you. Like, they're always happy. Fisher's always a happy place. So if you said squabble, I don't see that happening. You guys really squabble? Do you guys actually feel like?
It happens from time to time.
Is there bad days with you guys?
They gather all the monkey wrenches and then have a battle royale.
I'm okay with that.
No, I mean, that's one thing. These four guys, I mean, there's a reason why we've stuck it through and we've been able to work side by side for 5 years together is that we all work really well together. We all believe in hard work, and we all have our things that we do to make the machine keep running. And I think we're a really great team, and I'm really appreciative of these fellas for that.
That's awesome, because you guys are a great team. But the thing about you being a great team is it's seen in house. You guys are always here. You're cleaning up, serving, welcoming guests, selling, You guys are always moving. So what do you guys do for rest? Do you guys ever take rest? I just say maybe 3 or 4 days, maybe sometimes, but what do you guys do for rest? You guys take vacations on an annual basis?
We like to get in our kayaks and rafts. That's kind of a unifying thing that we all enjoy doing. And so, yeah, we like to get out on the river.
Sometimes we have to just draw straws to see who gets to go on trips. Yeah. But
Tommy's going on the Grand Canyon in a few weeks. So.
That's cool. You excited for that, brother?
Yes, I am.
You send a lot of pictures of the boys. Like, hey, look at this.
No service. I don't want to know how much fun I'm having.
He's not going to rub it in.
Oh, man.
It's no cell reception at the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I mean, being as nimble or as small as we are, we do have to juggle that, you know? Yeah. I'm out this week, you're out that. Yeah. You know, we juggle our schedules together, and we make it work.
Yeah, thanks for covering my shifts, guys.
How can people outside of Fisher support Fisher? How can anyone out that's listening to this can help you guys out, help the Fisher name?
Come down, drink some beer. What do you mean?
Is there anything we can do to personify like Fisher's legend, the Fisher brand you guys have created, that special space?
I mean, I think we've been just shocked at our amazing regular customer base. We've got a lot of people who visit us regularly. A lot of people, like Colby said, who look forward to the new stuff that comes in. You know, so I mean, the way you can support us is just come in, ask what's new. Yeah, I think that's a fun way to do it.
I like this. Boys, you guys have created a brewery that I wish, if I were to ever create a brewery, I'd mimic this. This place is holy. I don't know about you, Jack, but what's besides Fisher, what's some other places you can think of that have Fisher-esque qualities that reminisce that?
Not many come to mind.
Yeah, it's tough. It's its own niche, if you will.
It is a unique entity for sure. It's hard to put into words. But yeah, I'd say, like I said earlier, it is imbued into this place by what these guys provide. So it's pretty cool to see what they're doing and know there's more experimentation left in Colby to keep pumping them out.
Yeah.
That actually leads me to something else I was curious about. Do you enjoy like fermenting other things other than like beer or wine or this or that? Or is that carry over into other parts of your life or?
No.
It's always been a job?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. 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 Yep. For me with brewing, yeah. I've always enjoyed the work. So, and you know, and my partners know that it's a lot of really pretty hard, joyless work. Yeah. And years ago when I got my first brewing job, if you need a job and want to learn something maybe neat, you know, you just have to figure out how to wash kegs every day and stand in the cold room and fill kegs maybe for years. I did it for years, you know? But it's because I needed to pay the bills. Yeah. Like it wasn't because I thought I was going to be a great brewer or something. It was because it was solving a problem for me, which was feeding my family.
Yeah.
And so I'd like work. But yeah, that's it. For me. It's just always been, and that's helped me these past 5 years too. It's been a lot of work.
Keep your nose to the grindstone. Yeah. But I mean, you guys have that tangibility of seeing, you know, the fruits of the labor right in front of you, like all the time, like people coming in here enjoying your beer. So,
oh yeah. Well, that makes it really, and that's what makes brewing special.
Yeah.
And there aren't that many things that there are some, but we're pretty lucky with respect to that, having a connection to our labor that way from sort of start to finish, you know? Making it and then having people enjoy it, you know, and seeing them enjoy it. That's pretty important.
We were pretty dumbfounded after our first week open because we almost ran out of beer. And you don't know until you open your doors, people are going to show up. They're going to like it. It was a big fat gamble. And luckily we've came through on the right side of it. People like Fisher beer.
Yeah. Are there any beers you don't like that you've made or that you guys have had? Colby's made?
I have Well, I can pinpoint one specific beer that
should I say
didn't
it first?
Like. I think it was our second year anniversary. We decided to make an Imperial Pilsner, like a big batch of Fisher. And then nothing was wrong with the beer. I just don't think Imperial Pilsners should be made.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. It tasted a lot like most of the Imperial Pilsners that I've had. Not that
saltines
good.
Saltines dissolved in a diluted glass of vodka.
Yeah, so I wasn't super excited about that beer. I mean,
being critical of your own work is always going to make you better, right?
Yeah.
And take a new direction or try something different.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think, you know, we've been really lucky.
I mean,
we've never...
I know I've tasted a lot of great beers out of this place, a lot of home runs. So.
Yeah.
It's always nice.
Yeah, and part of pushing the envelope with experimentation with different hops and stuff like that, I mean, every year I'll try to buy several new hops that anybody says is this great thing or whatever. But, I mean, I guess that's kind of a hard... That becomes harder and harder the more tired I get, actually. Like, I know that Citra Bomb Tom is the best pale ale that we make, and that I'll sell out of it in 2 weeks. So it's pretty hard to not make that beer all the time. It's pretty hard to just make, like, a Cascade with some Idaho 7 or whatever. You know, you do, but I do it for the sake of experimentation and having something different, but it's not Citra Bomb Tom. You know what I mean? Which I could... Overcoming that sometimes is hard. When you maybe are making an experimental beer and you know that the likelihood of it not being as good as something that you have on the board is high. Mm. It's not that it won't be as good, but it's highly likely that people are going to be like, what the fuck, man? Where's Citra Bomb Tom or whatever? Why do you have all those? Well, you know, we want to keep things changing and keep things moving, you know?
Yeah. And you continue to do that, which is exciting, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, though, that's been challenging somewhat because you do, just like Steve said, I mean, I think the white pale, there are some beers that stay up there and rotate through. And most people would be happy to just have those kind of all the time. But if you had those all the time, you wouldn't have, you know.
Yeah.
In saying that if you promise people that you have something all the time, then you have to have it.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we tried not to bow to, you know. Mm. Although now we do try to always have a hazy, a sour, or Fisher Lager, obviously. And during the summer, Cerveza. So there are four or five different beers that we do try to sort of have all the time, subsets of the styles. But when we first opened, it was just Fisher. Everything else was going to come and go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, when it talks to this new space you're opening up, when's the ETA for that?
Well, in this environment, construction environment, I think it's a pretty... varied timeline based off of, you know, some delays that are likely in the forecast that we don't foresee yet with some of the stuff we'll need. But we're doing a two-phased approach with the place, basically the brewery side, where we'll have the canning line, more fermentation, and a cold room, basically. And then the tap room side that'll have, you know, the additional tap room space and the private event stuff that we can do. And so we're focusing first on the brewery side because there's a lot more simple carpentry, if you will. We just need some floor drains and a cold room, and we'll plumb in the fermenters, and we'll get that going.
Hell yeah!
So I think we're hoping for June. I don't know how you three feel about that, but I would say June feels pretty realistic.
Hopeful for May. June's realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. So hoping for May, June's realistic. It better happen by July type thing for the brewery side. But the other space is a lot larger animal construction wise, finish work wise, as far as the carpentry goes. And I would be happy if it happened by December personally. So I think the goal is to have it this year. But we'll see.
It's exciting. And then the 5-year anniversary is coming up.
Yep, so February 25th, Friday.
And what is the big plan for that? A big party? We're going to have...
Yeah, well, we a little bit been hesitant with everything going on, but things seem to be trending the right direction in society, if you will. So I think we're hoping to have a party, and certainly the three beers we have coming out, we're pretty excited for, especially that Brett beer. I think that should be awesome. Really unique.
Really cool.
Really unique beer. We're definitely looking forward to that. So we'll see. We're still as dialed as we are on some things. I wouldn't say we're fully dialed on that weekend yet. So we've got 3 weeks to kind of finalize some plans, but we'll have some fun. Like I said, we feel super lucky to find ourselves at our 5 year. So
I like that. And congratulations on the 5 year, gentlemen. Last question for each of you. Tom, I want to, you know, talk to you about what do you want Fisher to be known for at the end of the day? You hang up the boots, you guys all walk away from all this. If you walk away from it, what do you want Fisher to be known for?
At the end of the day, just, you know, if I'm not around this anymore, I'd still want to, like, if I came back to Utah or whatever, it's still going. You can still come down here and see a community-based brewery kind of thing. There's just like, if I go away for a year, I come back in here and see some familiar faces, whatever. That's something I'd like. I don't have any plans to walk away. It's not like, or anything like that, but I always feel like this would be part of my life kind of thing. And something I do get joy out of is seeing a bunch of familiar faces having a good time down here.
That's really awesome. Colby, what's something you haven't accomplished yet on a brewing aspect that you want to accomplish here at Fisher?
I think a big challenge is going to be canning beer well. You know, that's something that I don't know that much about and have never wanted to know much about. But, you know, I just want to keep, it's a challenge I feel like to keep making good, clean beer every day, all different varieties. That's just a challenge. But the very first day we opened and people, the very first person who paid for a pint of our beer, that's always kind of been the benchmark for me, I guess, like the fact that people actually feel like the beer is good enough to pay their hard-earned money for, you know. I feel like that's just an ongoing challenge forever, making sure that we're creating a product excellent enough to earn people's respect and hard-earned money. It's not easy to, you know, you don't need beer, you know? I mean, yeah. So the fact that people come in here and buy it, and anyway, that's the benchmark for success for me. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I want to achieve in brewing.
Man, Colby, you're a badass, dude. You're an example to me. As a brewer and as a friend, you're an example to me. You're awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, yeah. Really. Thanks, cool. Dave. Yeah.
Jack, what's something that you look up to with these boys? Something that, because you're from Maine. Like, you come, this is like one of your OG spots. What's something that?
I think they probably have all heard me ask questions here and there. I don't want to, like, copy them, but I would aspire to, you know, someday open a place similar to this, or at least, you know, hope to touch that level of like excellence and community building. Cause that is something that I recognize 100% as like the cornerstone of what this place allows. So yeah, I look up to all of them for creating Fisher, in its current form, and also just being great all around guys and friendly and open, and I've had, you know, unique and individual friendships with each one of them, so I'm grateful for that.
That's really cool. When are we all going to get Fisher tattoos? Is that a thing? Or do we already have Fisher tattoos?
There's a couple Fisher Brewing Company tattoos out there already.
Not signed off by Fisher Brewing Company. Yeah. But Sam, I want to leave on this note with your comments. But guys, before I ask this question, I'm going to say it to you gentlemen. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for coming. I know you guys are all busy. You guys work really hard. You guys are true examples to me what it takes like to run with passion and heart. You guys are fantastic. Oh, man, I have a man crush on each and every one of you. Tom, it's great to meet you today. I can't wait to see where our future goes. And gentlemen, I'm so glad. Every time I'm here, I'm going to give you a big, huge hug and smile. And you guys are just beams in my life. So thank you. Tim, what's something that these gentlemen, I guess a way, compliment each other, gentlemen, be like, hey, what's something that Colby, Tom, and Steve have done for you personally that you're so proud of?
Like I said before, I could not have asked for a better team. You know, we all have our quirks and we all have our opinions and we've butted heads in each and every way. But at the end of the day, we've all laid it down and said for the best of the business, we've taken really good care of one another. These guys have done that through some pretty gnarly times for me personally. You know, we've all backed each other up, and that's been like an unspoken rule, is that, you know, whether it's a Grand Canyon trip or getting married or, you know, having a tragedy in your life, that these guys are always rock solid. And I could have asked for no better partners than these three other guys here. So, real proud of that and grateful for these guys.
That's awesome, gentlemen. And again, can't thank you enough. Thank you for the kind words, and you guys don't change. Keep it going. All right.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Appreciate you having us on, man.
All right. Until the next beverage, my friends.
See
Cheers.
You.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.